Well, I have, as I prepared for today, almost everything I have prepared seems we've touched on it up to this point in our worship service. So it almost makes me want to say a prayer and amen, but I guess we got some more time. So I'm going to share with what God has had me prepare, but I'm going to say this starting out that as I share, I've already seen so much of what I'm going to say today that the scripture is teaching us that yes, we are on the right track, and let's keep that up. And I'm starting with today. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and I'm going to kind of sum it up in a short sentence here. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. As each and every one of you, as all of us do our part, the church grows and builds itself up in love. So as I read scripture, the scripture I'm going to speak on today, I thought, what good illustration could I use? And there's a lot of different ones, but this one is kind of, I apologize, lady, this is geared more towards the guys, but football season is approaching. Yeah, Buckeyes are practicing, getting ready, but we're going to stay away from picking different teams here. But football season is approaching. Football. 11 people on each side out there at a time trying to win this game. And every player must do their part. And if we're talking about professional football, it's a life. It's not just a lifestyle, but it's a year-long, every day, day in and day out, training till they get out on the field and play. It is still a game, yes, play the game. It takes every one of them to do their part. And even as we listen to ESPN and we watch these different commentaries talk about the games, did you know there is not one player on that field that's more important than another one? I know that shocks a lot of people. The quarterback couldn't do a darn thing without the other 10 guys out on that field doing their part. He might get paid more. He might get more TV commercials, but he is no more important. Actually, he's no more important than the guy that fills the water jugs that keeps them hydrated so they can play their game. But it's a year-round sport. Every second almost of their life builds. Every play, every minute, every player counts. Everybody that has anything to do with that team being successful counts. And many of these games that we watch are decided in the very last second of the game. The very last second. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. I'm going to read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I like verse 11. It's something that if you look through it and read it, you'll see that that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, is talking about different jobs within the early church. Basically, God has divided up the work, so it's not all on one person. And God uses every part. And Paul says apostles. Starts with apostles. What's an apostle? Basically, an apostle is a representative or a messenger of Christ. That's how we get the term apostolic authority, which is what the early writers of the New Testament had to have, this apostolic authority, in order for the big scholars when the Bible was placed together. We could spend hours on that, and we're not going to. But they had to have this apostolic authority in order for their words to be considered as part of Scripture. How did they get apostolic authority? Well, they saw Jesus. In the flesh, they walked and talked and were disciples of Jesus. The Apostle Paul is a little different story because he met Jesus in his conversion on the road. But there is no denying Paul's life changed completely from the time where he did not know Jesus until right after when he saw Jesus. His life changed drastically. There is no doubt that Paul has apostolic authority as well. So there's that part of the apostle, being an apostle. And there is some debate whether in Scripture, in today's scholars debate whether apostles even still exist. Or the only apostles were the early representatives of Christ. But this sense, and in other places, apostle is used in a more general sense as well. Prophets is another one. What's a prophet? A prophet was someone that was chosen by God to deliver a message or expound on a revelation. Were prophets popular? Not very much. Why? Think about it. What was a prophet's job? If you sitting here today or you go home and you spend time in prayer and all of a sudden God tells you, you're going to be my next prophet, I'm guessing you're going to be like me and you're going to go, oh. It wasn't a fun job to be a prophet, because at that time, prophets were sent to tell the people that, hey, you're doing it this way. God has called you to be over here. My job is to tell you that, to get you over here. And quite often in the Old Testament, God used a lot of gloom and doom and destruction to help turn his children around, to bring him back to where he wanted them. Being a prophet was not a popular job. Could you imagine being the prophet to go tell King David that hey, you sinned, and God is going to basically take the child away from you because of what you did? Can you imagine that? Telling a king that their child is about to die because of what the sin he has committed? If you think about that, it was a king. People, when they spoke out a turn to a king, especially back then, their life was over. They were done. But these prophets had the protection of God. And it's argued, and I started to say this a little bit earlier, but it's argued that apostles and prophets are no longer on this earth, that God has chosen a different way. But I'm going to say this morning, we definitely still have the work of the apostles and prophets here. And we can still learn from what they taught then through the Bible. Their work is recorded in Scripture. But now, when it comes to the evangelists and teachers, there's no disagreement here. There is no disagreement that they are still in existence. And why do I say that? Because I fully believe that the Bible teaches that we are all evangelists. If you are a Christian, you're an evangelist. Might be a bold statement, but I don't think so, because the way that Scripture reads, our number one job is to spread the good news. That's the job of an evangelist, to spread the gospel. To spread the gospel. We're all evangelist. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. Verse 11 talks about pastors and teachers. And I'm breaking this apart, but I am going somewhere with this. Talks about pastors and teachers. And if you look back at the way Paul wrote this in Greek, the sentence structure he used combined the two, pastors and teachers. And so I think we can also say that if we're spreading the gospel and we're teaching it to someone else, we all fall into that category as well. What Paul was talking about as pastor and teacher is the way he put it. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. And when I say church here, I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about every church, the body of Christ, that believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Not just this church. This isn't a message to say, hey, if we're doing our part, we're going to get more people here. No, this is a call to do what God has asked us to do for his body of believers. So we can make the deduction that if Scripture tells us that we pretty much fall into the evangelist and or pastor-teacher category here. I don't think you could be a Christian and not in some way, shape, or form be an evangelist. I don't think so. Either way, our job is to spread the gospel, to spread the good news that Christ came, lived on this earth, and died for our sins so that we can be forgiven. That when we die and stand before God Almighty and Jesus is there with us, that we will be accepted into glory. So, why do we do all that? Why does God have some be apostles, some be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers, and teachers? Verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service. To prepare others, other Christians, for the work that God has called them to do. So if we go back to this football illustration, what would happen if the coach only focused on his top four or five players? I mean, he's got an all-American quarterback. They get paid millions and millions of dollars. And he's got a really good running back and one awesome wide receiver. So we're going to focus as a coach. Our whole team is going to be built around these three people. And we're going to do good. We're going to win. And we make it to the championship game, to the Super Bowl. And it comes down to the final minute of the game. Now, we're playing the second best team out there. But we're down by two with seconds on the clock. And we're on the 25-yard line. And I got almost a 40-yard field goal to kick. But I forgot to pay attention to my kicker the whole season. Coach would be a little bit nervous. Each person counts. So why worry about teaching and doing what Scripture says? Teaching and building each other up, building up everyone. So the body of Christ can be built up. Every person, everything we do matters in the eyes of Christ. You know, I have up here with me, this is a list of not all the jobs within the church, but last year's list of people in different roles. From congregational chair to finance committee, auditor, children's education cabinet, the fellowship committee, finance committee, gifts discernment, Wednesday night coordinators, outreach, vacation Bible school, trustees, ushers, delegates, and that's just to name a few. This list goes on and on and on. And many of you are considering taking up a new role. And it's important that we do that. It's important that we do the work God has called us to do. And not one job that we have is more important than the other. You know, I got to watch this week, a couple days ago, they fired up this irrigation thing out in the field the other day. And for me, I've never seen one before we moved up here actually working, and it was pretty neat. But as it works, I thought, well, it's not working right. There's only water coming out the one end. And Mark's probably laughing because he knows where I'm going with this. And Reese even said to me a couple days, a little bit later, that, Dad, it's only working at the one end. But if you look close at it, the water coming out closest to the pivot is not as strong. But there it doesn't have to cover as much ground. Them little nozzles that are spraying the water, if they were thinking, they're thinking, I got to do more work because the ones at the far end, they're working really hard and putting a lot of water out. But if they would do that, if they would put out the same amount of water, you're just going to flood the stuff closer to the pivot because it's going to put too much water on. We all have our part to do. Some maybe a little bit more glamorous in our eyes than others, but we all have our part to do. And it's all vitally important when it comes to building the church as God has called us to do. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. To attain, verse 13, why do we do this? To attain, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 13 tells us why it's important. It's to prepare others for God's work, to become mature in Christ, to attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. To become mature Christians, we need to build each other up. Build each other up. And I like, I'm going to back up here for a second. I like in verse 13, we don't have to do this forever. Do you know that? As Christians, we don't have to do this forever. We only have to build each other up until we reach unity in the faith and become mature Christians. Who's there? I'm not going to raise my hand. I think Paul's got a little sarcasm going here that you don't have to do this forever. You just got to do it till you're mature. But guess what? God is going to keep teaching us and training us. But we get a reward for this. And that's where he's going in verse 14 when Paul talks about this. As we become closer to Christ, we get rewarded. We get rewarded. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. We become mature in Christ. So that when the storms hit, when life gets tough, when we don't understand why we get to go through or have to go through things that we're going through, we were built, our foundation was built on that solid rock of Christ. We will become closer and closer to God and be mature. You know, one of my favorite things in watching a football game, and they don't do it nearly enough, is trick plays. I love trick plays because trick play really shows which teams prepared the best, which teams really paid attention to the fundamentals and details. I remember watching a thing, I think it was a high school game that they had on film, that this quarterback, they were lined up ready to snap the ball, and all of a sudden the quarterback stands up and he's going to call a new play because something wasn't right, and the center hands him the ball, so he's there holding the ball, talking to his guys, and next thing you know, he's passed all the defense, run into the end zone, and scored a touchdown. The other team wasn't ready. This is why we are to become mature in Christ. So we are ready when the other team, if you will, when Satan throws things at us that we're not expecting. So we are mature in faith, and we are ready, and we won't be tossed back and forth, and we won't be defeated because we're mature in Christ. We are mature in Christ. Paul is talking about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 4:14. He's talking about spiritual warfare, and that's something a lot of us struggle with. But how do we get through it? How do we prepare somebody for spiritual warfare? Number one, we teach the gospel. That's what Paul's saying here. We spread the good news. We speak the truth in love. We do what God has called us to do, fully recognizing that we can't do it all on our own, that God uses each and every person to grow his church. Everyone in God's family is important. Everyone in God's family. As each part does its work, the church grows and builds itself up in love. Let God grow His church through our hearts. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I pray that your words this morning can sink in. That we can recognize the work you're calling us to do. And even if it's work we don't want to do, that we can do it with a smile on our face because we know we are being faithful to you and that you will use it to build your church in love. God, I pray you'll build us up. I pray you'll use us to build others up and that we can all do our part to show your love to those who so desperately need it. Lord God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.